And joining me right now here on a Thursday, go over the latest on the NBA playoffs. And last night was so wild. He's my good friend, Chris Pirtle. Chris, how you doing today?
Doing well, Mark. Good to be with you.
All right. Let's start with the late game where it looked like Utah was going to win. And then playoff Paul George took over in the second half. Clippers win. No Kawhi Leonard. They're up 3-2. What'd you think of that performance by the Clippers?
Well, I was highly impressed. And as we knew, Mark, if the Clippers are going to win this series, they were going to have to win a game in Utah. This is a game that nobody thought they could win. People said it couldn't be done. You know, they talked about how Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, since joining the Clippers, are winless in Utah. And they say, no way can they go in there without Kawhi Leonard and win this game. Well, the Clippers proved they are the deepest team in basketball. And there's a reason they went in there last night and got the victory.
They've won three in a row now. Three in a row. It's incredible with this team. Was it just Paul George, or did other guys step up for the team?
Well, yeah, we were definitely going to need other guys. As a matter of fact, Mark, at halftime last night, I went to Facebook and I mentioned the fact that we were going to need to see contributions from Terrence Mann, Nicholas Batum, and Luke Kennard. And luckily for the Clippers, they got contributions from all three guys. It was only an 8-point victory. So, you know, if one of those guys wouldn't have stepped up, it would have put the game in jeopardy. So not only did they get good contributions from those guys, but Reggie Jackson was big time down the stretch last night, as was Marcus Morris. It was a complete team effort, Mark, and it reminded me a lot of Game 7 against Dallas, where they got contributions from a variety of guys, further emphasizing my point that this is the deepest team left in the playoffs.
I think the Jazz shot, it was some crazy stat, like 3-for-24 from the three-point line last night in the second half. In the first half, it looked like they couldn't miss. What was the difference? Was it the defense just got better for the Clippers? What did you see?
I think a combination of, the defense getting better, which led to the Jazz losing confidence. I mean, Jordan Clarkson was hot in the first half. And like you said, Mark, just about everybody was hot for the Utah Jazz in the first half. There were some defensive adjustments made in the second half with going small with Nicholas Batum, who I thought was huge again last night. I can't say enough about what he's done and what he's done to affect Rudy Gobert's game. And it turned out to be a pretty rough night for Gobert, especially when Terrence Mann threw that dunk down right in his face. So certainly some defensive adjustments that were made, which led to the Jazz just completely losing confidence and shooting 3-for-24, as you indicated, from the three-point line in the second half.
Okay, here's my thing on the Jazz. After I've seen them play now for a couple days, it's like when they have to be in a half-court set, Rudy Gobert has no offensive moves. Down low, he has none. He is a liability. So really like 4-on-5 on offense. And if their three-point shooting doesn't go, then what the hell's their offense? I get it. They want to push it, go high up tempo, hit threes. But look, I'll give credit to your Clippers. They exposed the Utah Jazz last night with no Kawhi Leonard. It was fantastic. My question for you is, how big of a moment was that for Paul George, stepping up to be the leader of this team and getting that W?
Well, it was huge. It was huge. And a lot of people have been counting this guy out. They've been saying negative things about him, Mark. But you know one guy who hasn't? That's yours truly. And that's why I slapped him with an awesome nickname, HBK, a few weeks ago. And this guy stepped up, and there was no reason to think that he couldn't, because this is the same Paul George, Mark, that just two seasons ago, just two seasons, not 20 seasons ago, not five seasons ago, but just two seasons ago, was a regular season MVP runner-up for the Oklahoma City Thunder at the time. So I knew he had this in him. I'm glad to see it come out. It came out at the right time. And for the Clippers to continue to advance, he's going to have to continue to play like that. The good news for them is he's capable of doing exactly that.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm going to go back to Mr. Donovan Mitchell. I like him, but there are times he gets erratic like Russell Westbrook on offense. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and he got cold last night. And I think it was 2 days ago, Mark, when I talked to you from Covington, Kentucky. that I mentioned the fact that who's Donovan Mitchell's running mate? Who's his HBK like Kawhi had, you know? And we couldn't find that person. We said, is it Joe Ingles? Probably not. Is it Jordan Clarkson? Well, he comes off the bench. It can't be him. Is it Mike Conley? Well, he never comes off the bench because he's always first. So at the first quarter last night, it looked like Bogdanovich might have been his running mate, but he went stone cold. So, again, it just further illustrates the lack of depth that the Utah Jazz have and the deepness that the Clippers do have.
All the pressure was on the Clippers. They get it done. As we go to Game 6, is the pressure on the Clippers to win, or is it now on Utah?
Pressure's on Utah to win, because if you don't win, you're going fishing. And for the L.A. Clippers, they have to like the way that they've played in Los Angeles. I mean, we could be talking about this series could already be over if the Clippers would have lived up to expectations in one of those first two games in Utah. But both of the games in Los Angeles, it was a combined 45-point drubbing. So I think the Clippers, if they play their game and Ty Lue keeps them in the game and focused, that they should be able to win this game, because they obviously don't want to go back to Utah for Game 7. And, Mark, as I mentioned, Ty Lue, let's give this man some credit, okay? Ty Lue was being counted out as well, and I was starting to have a little bit of doubts about Ty Lue. But I love the way he kept this team together. When the Utah Jazz drained 10 three-pointers in the first quarter, that's 30 points just off of three-pointers in the first quarter, yet he still finds a way to keep his team in it. I can't say enough about the coaching job that Ty Lue has done in both of these series.
Hey, Shaq said it at halftime last night. Look, you're giving up all these threes, all the energy. You're only down 5 points at half. It was a win for the Clippers. It really was. And I'll tell you, the play that set the tone is when there's a play where Paul George got a put back in the second quarter. Put it back, got it in. Then Morris steps over Rudy Gobert. You know the play I'm talking about. And Gobert didn't like that and threw the shove. That was a physical play setting the tone for the Clippers. If the Jazz lose 4 in a row in 6 games, is it a sweep in your eyes? I say yes.
Yeah, and like I said, it could have already been a sweep just based upon the fact that the Clippers controlled the first two games in Utah but let both of them slip away. And, you know, the Clippers, I think, have more talent, as I've already said a dozen times. They're a deeper team. But I also think they're mentally stronger. And I think we saw a little bit of the weakness that the Utah Jazz have mentally. And I'll tell you what, Mark, I don't know if you got a chance to see the interview with Quinn Snyder after the third quarter, after his team just got outscored by 15 points to the LA Clippers in the back-breaking third quarter. He looked about as depressed as I've ever seen a coach. And it doesn't look like the Jazz ever recovered from that third quarter, and I don't think that they're ever going to be able to recover from it.
Here's my thing. You look at Golden State, and everyone thinks, oh, they just shoot the three with Klay and Steph, and they did at a historic level. They also went to the rim. They also had Draymond Green. They also had Andrew Bogut. They had other players down low who could score two-point baskets. When I look at Utah, they're just a one-trick pony. If the three ain't falling, they're dead in the water. That's my take. What about you?
I couldn't agree more. It's a great point, Mark. And not only the Clippers, you know, the Clippers have guys that can go to the basket. We saw the Terrence Manns get to the basket. We know what Marcus Morris could do under the basket. And even Paul George. Paul George is by no stretch a one-trick pony who just sits out there and jacks up three-point shots like Donovan Mitchell, for example. He can get to the rim also. So not only can this team show the ability to get to the rim, but this year, Mark, they led the league. They led the entire league in three-point shots, and they led the league in free throw shooting percentage. So there's just a lot of advantages that the Clippers have. They are why I picked them to win the NBA championship on June 1st on the Mark Moses Show. And with or without Kawhi Leonard, I'm not backing off of that prediction.
Here is my thing where you joke where Kawhi Leonard's the Undertaker. I think the whole team is the Undertaker from the standpoint of they're not flashy. They're not in your face. But it's hard to kill them. It's like they're just, it's like a zombie. You got to blow their head off after a while. I'm sorry if you use that analogy. They just, like, you beat them one game. Oh, we got them. No. They are the antithesis of a best of seven series. You got to win four games against them. And I don't know if Utah can do that, Chris. That's my take.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think their back was broken yesterday in the third quarter, and it was Ty Lue. I call him Stone Cold. You know, I've got wrestling analogies for just about every one of these members of the LA Clippers. But it was Stone Cold Ty Lue just 5 years ago, Mark, a half a decade ago, whose team was down 3-1 to the Golden State Warriors, a team that had won 73 games that season. And that team came back and won the NBA championship. Here we are 5 years later.
We're with Chris Pirtle. We'll find out what that series. What about the other game last night? The choke job by the 76ers. I think they're up 25 points in this game. What is your take on Atlanta stealing that game in Philadelphia?
Well, I got to give the Hawks a tremendous amount of credit for staying focused. Got to give their coach, Nate McMillan, who is now, I think, about 40-14 since he's taken over in Atlanta, some major credit for keeping that team in the game. You know, I saw a post on social media earlier today, Mark. I thought it was kind of funny. It says three things for sure in life: death, taxes, and a Doc Rivers team collapsing in the playoffs. So, you know, it's interesting because Ty Lue has his team poised for a trip to the conference finals, yet Doc Rivers in Philadelphia have a lot of questions to answer after last night's debacle.
I think Mr. Ben Simmons was 4-14 from the free throw line, and it's a record. I saw this stat for a guard in a playoff game to miss 10 free throws. That's amazing. Can you go teach him to shoot the basketball? What's going on here, Chris?
Yeah, I think he needs to go to the Billy Mims, Coach Billy Mims school of shooting free throws. I mean, that's pathetic. I didn't realize it was that bad, Mark. And in a game last night where you had a combined total of 73 points by Joel Embiid and Seth Curry, this should have been a Philadelphia 76ers victory, hands down. And it was anything but. They've got some serious questions to answer going back to the Atlanta's highlight factory.
They were the one seed. Look, it's not over. It's not. But Trae Young does it again. 30-plus points. The comeback. My question for you is this team, with all the young core and Trae Young, and they're one game away from the conference finals, is this an up-and-coming team that could be a contender in the East for years to come?
Yeah, as long as they can stay healthy, Mark, they're gonna be a contender. And it was just 5 years ago, actually 6 years ago, when they made their last trip to the conference finals. Ironically enough, Mike Budenholzer was their coach. Mm-hmm. I think a couple of days ago, we would have thought that Budenholzer would be the team that would face Atlanta in the conference finals, but it's not looking that way at this point for the Milwaukee Bucks.
It's shocking. That really is. Okay, let's go to our games tonight. Oh, but before I say that, yes, the 76ers choked horribly last night. All right. It's an all-timer. Is it like a 28-3 Atlanta Falcons Patriots? Is it that level of a choke job? That's my question.
Yeah, but that's supposed to happen to the teams in Atlanta. That's where it usually happens. So, yeah, I can't remember the last time a team in the playoffs had a 17-point lead and found a way to lose the game in the fourth quarter.
Let me go over these box scores for you from last night. So after one, Sixers were up 38-24. Second quarter, they outscored Atlanta 24-16. In the third quarter, Atlanta outscores Philadelphia 29-26. This is shocking. Fourth quarter, you're the one seed. You are the home team. It's your court, your fans. You get outscored 40-19. Man, that's
unbelievable.
Remember, in game four in Atlanta, they had a double-digit lead and blew it after a while. You know what it is? Trust the process. They don't know how to win. Those players don't know how to win when it matters, Chris. That's the bottom line.
You know, and it doesn't appear that they do know how to win. The body language on the sideline, as you can imagine, was terrible last night. I saw Doc getting into it with Tobias Harris. Mark, I don't see how Philadelphia recovers from this.
I don't know either. Remember, 2 years ago, they had Jimmy Butler as well on their team, and then Kawhi and the Raptors beat them. I'm just lost for words when it comes to them. Okay, let's go to the schedule. I am looking at I'm trying to see how many games do we have tonight. We had two last night. Tonight we have Brooklyn at Milwaukee. This series, 3-2 Brooklyn. And yes, Mr. Kevin Durant had 49 points in the last game. What are your thoughts on this game six in Milwaukee?
Well, Milwaukee obviously must win. Otherwise, they're done. So we've seen them beat Brooklyn both times on their home court. And you got to believe they've got another victory in them because they're in Milwaukee. But if Durant performs like he did the other night, it's going to be tough for them to win. I think the X factor is James Harden, Mark. Yeah. What is James Harden going to give this team tonight?
He played 45 minutes the other night and scored 5 points. So he was a, what's the word I'm trying to, like a decoy out there for the Nets. If you're Milwaukee and you are in that game five, with one possession in the, with a minute to go, you were right there. If Durant has played 48 minutes again, put him on his ass, knock him down, and get physical with the Slim Reaper. And then take the ball to the rim if you're Giannis and these other guys. I'm getting physical. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, it seems like an easy game plan. It just makes you wonder why the Bucks don't implement that strategy just about every game. And if they haven't figured it out by now, makes you wonder if they ever can. So I agree with your logic and your thought process about their approach. And for the Bucks' sake, that better be the way they handle it. If Giannis gets out there and goes 1 of 8 from the 3-point line again, they're gone. They're done.
Why is he going 1 for 8? Go to the rim. I don't understand.
And look, makes no sense.
What about Jeff Green scoring 27 points? That was phenomenal for the Nets when you look at what he gave them.
Yeah, what a strategy. Put James Harden out there, like you said, as a decoy, and then tell Jeff Green to go back to 2012 form, to go back to the 2012 Jeff Green. I mean, this guy was a top five draft pick coming out of college, but that was about 12 or 13 years ago. So you never know who's going to step up in these playoff games, Mark. And the Nets have some talent. When you look at Joe Harris, Mike James, they've got some players on this team. There's a reason that they were the number 2 seed this year, dealing with all the injuries that they've had to deal with. I wouldn't be surprised, Mark, if Brooklyn goes in there tonight and closes this series.
Was that Kevin Durant performance where he played every single minute, 49 points, and a triple-double? Was that an all-timer in the history of the NBA?
Yeah, it was, you know, and I think we saw a lot of people say, oh, LeBron James has done that 10 times in his career. No, not really. The best stat line that you'll ever see from a LeBron James in the playoffs was a 40-point, 18-rebound, 9-assist performance in round 2 versus Indiana in 2012 on their way to their first ever championship. We saw him that same season go for 45 points in Boston, where he scored 30 of that in the first half. So Kevin Durant's performance was probably better than anything I've ever seen from LeBron James. But let's think about this, what Paul George did last night on the road in Utah. I know he didn't have 49 points. He was around 40 points. He had around 15 rebounds. I don't think he had double-digit assist. But what Paul George did on the road in the toughest place to play in the league, a place that his Clippers hadn't won a game in years, was almost as impressive as what Kevin Durant did.
All right, so what's your pick for tonight? Who wins, Milwaukee or Brooklyn?
I'm going to take Brooklyn. I think Milwaukee's confidence is shot, and I don't think they're the same Milwaukee Bucks team they used to be.
I think Milwaukee wins it in a close, kind of ugly game like Game 3, and I think we're going Game 7. So we'll find out. It's the only game going on tonight. Here's a crazy hypothetical for you. If the Bucks lose, in your eyes, is Mike Budenholzer the fall guy?
I think there's a good possibility he could be, but I think Bucks management is wiser. I think Bucks management realizes that they were nothing until Budenholzer got to town. Yeah. They were an 8 seed the previous year, and when Budenholzer got to Milwaukee, he's won back-to-back Coach of the Year in 2019 and 2020. I don't think he's the reason. I think they need to look at some of their personnel and what they can do to improve the team. I mean, what are they going to do? Go hire Jason Kidd? So it doesn't make any sense for Budenholzer to be the fall guy. But in these situations, a lot of times there is one, whether it's fair or not.
Wasn't Jason Kidd the coach there in Milwaukee anyway?
Exactly.
All right. The Orlando Magic are still looking for a coach. You now have Scott Brooks. He was let go by Washington. And Stan Van Gundy was let go by New Orleans. You still have Terry Stotts. So there's getting some names out there if you're the Magic. What would you do if you're the Magic right now, Chris?
Okay, well, first of all, with regard to Stan Van, it's time for him to retire. I mean, if you can't make it happen in New Orleans with that good young team and you get fired after your first year, I think you're probably one of the last guys I'm going to want to talk to come in and coach my team. As I indicated the other day, Terry Stotts is coached the Portland Trailblazers for the past 8 years. All 8 years, they went to the Western Conference playoffs, not the Eastern Conference playoffs, which just about anybody can do, but the varsity. So he's my top choice. Who was the other guy you mentioned? Scott Brooks.
Yeah.
I think Brooks is a good coach too. But my favorite, my choice would be Terry Stotts if I had to pick somebody.
This is my thing with Stan Van Gundy. Down the stretch when they're trying to make the playoffs, they kept losing, and then he'd be post game ripping his team. Oh, they're not prepared. They're not executing. They're not. I'm like, you're the coach. What's going on here? You know. That was a Zion Williamson decision. I'm just throwing it out there. That's Zion. I don't want this guy to be my coach. I'm sorry. And then I saw reports today where some of Zion's family members they're like, we don't want him on New Orleans. So this will get very interesting. But let's end with this. The Phoenix Suns are sitting around. I know Chris Paul's in the COVID protocol. If you're the Suns, are you wanting a Game 7 between the Clippers and the Jazz to postpone the Western Conference Finals as long as possible?
Yeah, you are, and it's weird, Mark, because 48 hours ago, you and I were talking about how a long layoff would not be good for the Phoenix Suns. Well, that was before we got the news on Chris Paul, so yeah, you're darn right. They would like to see a Game 7 in that series.
All right, you like Brooklyn, and you like the Clippers to move on. And every time Chris says we, he's sticking with his pick where he wants the Clippers to win the title. That's his pick from June 1st. Chris, thank you so much for your help, and I'll talk to you next week. All right, man?
You got it, Mark. Have a good one.